And Wonders of His Love, what a great song that is. Good morning, my name's Craig. It's great to have you here. It's great to be here on Christmas Eve. Many of you know that 18 years ago, I was on staff here at Bethel, and I remember Christmas Eve on that Sunday because we were meeting in the Family Life Center, and our son Carl had just been born. He was 22 days old at the time, and Laurel and I were Mary and Joseph, and he was the baby Jesus. So on that Sunday morning, or that Sunday evening, I think it was a Christmas Eve night service, we portrayed Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in that service. And that really gave me help in just understanding what it was like for Joseph. The passage we're going to look at is looking at it from the perspective of Joseph this morning in Matthew chapter 1. It really gave me the perspective of what it was like to be Joseph leading up to that, and then on that morning, and to experience all that was happening there. And our text this morning is in Matthew chapter 1. And this morning we're going to do our service a little bit differently. We're going to have three different pastors of us sharing God's word together in little snippets. And we're going to be using the word joy this morning, and using the three letters of joy for three different words: Jesus, others, and you. So I'll be talking about knowing joy is knowing Jesus. And then Pastor Stephen will be sharing about sharing joy with others is sharing Jesus. And then lastly, Pastor Andy will be preaching on experiencing joy yourself is experiencing Jesus. So I encourage you to follow along with that and with the hymns and songs that we'll be singing in between. We're going to be focusing on Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. So if you have your Bible, open up to that. I'll be focusing on the first couple verses of that, but we'll be handling the whole passage this morning. So let me read that for us. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But as he, Joseph, considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The words that the angel gave to Joseph on this day were a gift to him. And as we read them here, as Matthew has recorded them, there really isn't a word that we could leave out and still contain the same meaning. It's compact, it's precise, it's accurate as to what the angel said to Joseph. So as we put ourselves in Joseph's shoes this morning, I think we'll receive a gift as well. We'll know joy better by knowing Jesus better. The first thing we see here is the angel spoke to Joseph about Joseph's fathers. We see that little phrase there, son of David. The angel was reminding Joseph that he was from a particular lineage. His ancestors stretched all the way back to David and even before. And the promises were that a child would come, that a Messiah would come in the line of King David. That was God's plan. They were expecting a human king, but God had a different plan. It wasn't a human king. It was God become man, a baby who would become a king. This Jesus was going to be the son of David. So Joseph was first given a gift of remembering whose line he was in and that this child who was coming was going to be in that same line. Secondly, the angel spoke to Joseph's fears. The angel said to him, do not hesitate in fear to take Mary as your wife. Joseph had come to some conclusion about Mary out of fear. He didn't know what happened, but he could only assume that Mary had become pregnant in an unholy way with someone else. And Joseph was fearful as to what to do. But the angel addressed Joseph's fears, and he gave Joseph a great gift. He gave Joseph the gift of hope. He gave Joseph words on which to place his trust. The angel essentially said, you might fear, but I come to you with the assurance from God that you need not fear to take Mary as your wife. The angel essentially said to him, knowing Jesus, that's who your son's going to be, will help you know joy and not fear. So the angel spoke to Joseph's fears. Thirdly, the angel gave Joseph facts that would help him set his fear aside. His fear concerned how Mary had become pregnant And the angel hadn't answered that, but the next thing the angel answered was that. The angel set him straight. He said, this conception is a miraculous gift. It's not from a man, it's from God himself. This son will be human, but the son will also be God's son, fully God and fully man, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's the promised one. He is God with us. And then finally, the angel commanded Joseph concerning his future by telling him to give this name, the baby, this name, Jesus. He was no ordinary baby. He was no ordinary man. His name means God saves. His name told Joseph that Jesus was fully God and fully man. The son would change Joseph's future, but it would not only change Joseph's future, he would change all of our futures as well if we trust in him. So as I remember back and as I remember portraying Joseph 18 years ago, walking down that aisle in the Family Life Center, holding Carl as the baby Jesus, I realized that Joseph was no different than me. Joseph is no different than you. Because God is speaking to us in the same way as he spoke to Joseph. And the question that he's asking us is, do you know Jesus? Not just know of him, but do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus in an intimate way? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you know the great gift that God has given to us in the person of Jesus Christ? Because we can know Jesus and know joy in the same way that Joseph did. We can know Jesus by knowing his Father, God, just like Joseph did. We can have our fears addressed with faith, and we can have confidence in the salvation that God provides for us. We can know the facts about Jesus. God became a man. The shepherd became a lamb. And we can know joy in Jesus by knowing that we have a future and a hope as well. Knowing joy is knowing Jesus.
Joy, Jesus, others, you. My name is Stephen. I'm the pastor of Student Ministries here at Bethel. Craig just shared with us the J of joy, Jesus. Knowing joy is knowing Jesus. Jesus' birth signals the greatest gift the world has ever received. And a gift this great must be shared. That's why I'll be sharing the O of joy with us this morning. Others. Sharing joy is sharing Jesus with others. Matthew 1:21 continues, because he will save his people from their sins. Growing up, Christmas was a big holiday in my family. Extended family would travel from all over so that we could stuff ourselves with food, tear open gifts, and celebrate the Christmas story together. During my freshman year of college, my grandmother was having significant health issues, and so we all traveled down to South Dakota to spend Christmas with her. Some traditions that year were the same. We still stuffed ourselves with food. We still tore open gifts. Someone got a box of chippers, do you know, chocolate-covered potato chips. They last about 30 seconds because a gift as good as chippers has to be shared. Some traditions that year were different. My grandmother wasn't well enough to travel to church for the Christmas Eve service, and so she asked if I would share a Christmas sermon in the living room. I was just a freshman in college at the time. I wasn't a pastor, and yet I had the incredible honor of sharing the story of how God came down at Christmas to save us from our sins. Little did we know it would be our last Christmas altogether, as my grandmother went to be with Jesus later that year. One of the passages we read that night was from Luke 2, and I'll start at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard them were amazed at what they heard, at what the shepherds said to them. What do we do with a gift as great as Christ himself? Like the shepherds, we have to share it. We have to go and tell everyone about Jesus. The one thing we can't do in heaven is share the gospel with those who haven't heard. Why did God send shepherds to share his story? Well, there are two reasons I can think of. One, because God himself is a shepherd. He cares for us and protects us. And two, because in the Christmas story, the shepherd becomes the lamb. The shepherd becomes the lamb. God becomes human. Jesus isn't just a baby. He's the maker of the universe made in a teenage mother's womb. He's the fullness of God in an 8-pound package. He's the Prince of Peace, born in a smelly stable behind a crowded tavern, wrapped in rags and placed in a feeding trough. God the Son came down that first Christmas because, as Matthew 1:21 reminds us, because he will save his people from their sins. That night, we read the Christmas story together, and with it, John 3:16. Who here knows John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 begins with God and ends with life. Short enough to write in a napkin or share in a moment, yet strong enough to weather 2,000 years of storms. It's four powerful verbs. He loves. He gave. We believe. We live. He loves. God so loves every one of us that God the Son came down that first Christmas morning. His name is Jesus, meaning he saves, because he will save his people from their sins. He loves, he gave. Jesus is the sinless Lamb of God. We, on the other hand, sin every day. We stretch the truth. We hurt those we love. Instead of giving ourselves to others, we take from them. Our sins separate us from a holy God. Jesus gave his life to pay the price for our sins. He loves. He gave. We believe. We believe because Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He appeared to over 500 people on over a dozen occasions before ascending into heaven. He is alive and offers us a real relationship with God. All we have to do is believe and receive the gift of salvation. And when we do, he loves, he gave, we believe, we live. Because he lives, we too can live. God gives us brand new life. He gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us. He gives us a peace on earth and a place in heaven. He gives us all this because he gave us the greatest gift of all, that first Christmas, himself. He loves, he gave, we believe, we live. this Christmas, give the perfect gift. Share Jesus with someone in your life. Before coming to church for our candlelight services this afternoon, take a moment to text or call a few friends, family, coworkers. Wish them a Merry Christmas and invite them to join you for our candlelight services this afternoon at 3:30 and 5. It would only take a couple minutes of your time, and it could change their life forever as God gets a hold of them and they begin a real relationship with God. 2, before opening other gifts tonight or tomorrow, read the Christmas story from Matthew or Luke's gospel with your family, then share with them why Jesus came down at Christmas. Read John 3:16 and share with them the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 3rd and finally, before the new year, think of one person God is calling you to tell about Jesus. Pray about when and how you'll share Jesus with them. And then set up a time and share with them the greatest gift of all. That Christmas of my freshman year of college, my grandmother gave me the perfect opportunity to share the story of Jesus with my extended family. But we shouldn't need to be asked to talk about Jesus. Christmas is the perfect opportunity to start talking openly and often about Jesus. To open up God's word before we open up other gifts. And to share the good news of the gospel with those we love most. The one thing we can't do in heaven is share the gospel with those who haven't heard. This Christmas season, talk openly and often about Jesus. Share the greatest gift of all. Give yourself to others because God gave himself for us. And like the angel said, don't be afraid. You are bringing good news that will cause great joy for all people.
Well, J is for Jesus, and O is for others, and the Y is for you. I just want to continue in this passage that we're looking at this morning in Matthew chapter 1. In verse 22 and 23, it says this, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. For a few minutes, I want to shift our attention from giving ourselves to others to God giving himself to us. God is a giving God. You agree with that? Amen? He loves to give to his children. When we think of giving, we often think of God. And when we think of God, we often think of giving. He loves to give. He's given us all creation. He has given us physical life. He's given us relationships. He has given us a Savior and the forgiveness of sin. He has given us food to eat and clothes to wear. He has given us everything that we need for life and so much more. God has and will spend eternity giving himself away. Just over 2,000 years ago, God was fully aware of mankind's fallen condition and the inability to save himself. And he wrapped up his one and only son in a blanket of grace and gave himself away. Because God is a giving God, he has been giving to you since the moment you took your first breath. Yes, it is true. There is a part of Christmas that is about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about me, but there is a part that is about you. We as Christians like to say this time of year, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? But think about this. What would God say is the reason for the season? Aside from his own glory, because that's always at the top of the list, I think he might say, you are the reason for the season. If you weren't the reason for the season, there wouldn't be a season. It is because of his great love for you that he sent Jesus to this earth. During Christmas, let us keep our focus on him, as Pastor Craig shared with us, and giving ourselves away, as Pastor Stephen shared with us, and let him keep his focus on us. If you are concerned about you this Christmas season, there's no need to be, because God's got your back. You can stop thinking about you, because God can't stop thinking about you. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It is amazing to me how much time, how much energy we are willing to spend thinking and planning for just that perfect gift. We spend time shopping, going from store to store, looking at all the reviews, jumping from one website to another website, all in the name of Christmas, year after year. The perfect gift, whether it's for a child or a spouse or a friend. And if you're anything like me, you want just that right gift, that perfect gift. But you also want the best deal. Here's what we need to be reminded of about God. God is not a Christmas bargain shopper. He paid the ultimate price for your joy. Christmas is about giving. One of the most exciting things about Christmas is being able to give gifts to our children and watch them tear open the package, ripping off the wrapping paper and tear into the box. And I wonder, how much more do you suppose God loves to give to his children? Imagine that God had a Christmas tree for his children, and under the tree was a massive pile of gifts. What gift would you want to open this Christmas? What is it that you would want to find in a box as you tear it open? What is it that you need Jesus to do in your life this Christmas season? How do you need Jesus to minister to you today? Today I want to share with you just some of the gifts that would be under this symbolic tree, available for everyone, his children. I encourage you, in a symbolic way, to open one or two and take them home with you. One of them will have your name on it, I guarantee, maybe two or three. What are these gifts? They are the promises of Scripture. And I would encourage you that if you have a pen or something and you just, if you hear one that kind of resonates with you, just jot down the reference and go back and read it later this afternoon. These are powerful gifts because God is a giving Father. Listen to this first one. He is a father to the fatherless. Psalm 68:5 says this, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. He is our light. Maybe you're feeling a little bit lost. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Another gift, he is our grace. Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He is our satisfaction. Maybe you're finding yourself at a place in life where you're just not feeling fulfilled or satisfied. Listen to John 7:37 through 39. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, said Jesus. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John 10:14. He is our defender and our protector. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Have you found one yet? He is our peace. Anybody need peace? Philippians 3, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Listen to this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. He is our hope, another gift. Psalm 62:5. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Just a few more. He is our joy. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. He is our rest. Now this, I know, will resonate with some of you this time of year, right? Anybody need rest? Listen, Matthew 11:28, come back to this over and over. He says this, come to me, it's an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's our comforter. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. He's our strength, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. He is our guide and direction. Anybody need direction? Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. How about a rock? He is our rock. 2 Samuel 22:3, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you save me. Two more. Have you found one yet? He is our keeper. Psalm 121:5 says this, the Lord watches over you. And the last one, he is our way, he is our truth, and he's our life. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I trust that those promises, those gifts, are exactly what you needed to be reminded of this morning. He's a very generous giver of gifts. Today, may you experience Christmas joy. Jesus, others, and you. Father, thank you for your word, and just thank you so much for the promises, one after another in your word, these incredible gifts that you give us. And Father, as even this time of year, we do have this tendency to think of self and am I going to be taken care of? Lord, would you help us to turn our attention to your word, to gravitate towards your word, and to dig deep and be reminded that we don't have to spend all of our time thinking about self, that you're taking care of us. God, it is my prayer that you would meet each person here. Maybe one of these scriptures really resonated with someone, and maybe there's others. This can be a time of year of great joy and great sadness, and great struggle, and confusion. And God, I pray that you would just meet each person here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.